the old Big Poppy situation where it would just be drop it down there. You're going to first. Yeah. You're advancing a runner. You're doing something, but they just wouldn't do it.
Don't do it. And yeah. a lot of guys don't even work on that anymore either. Like bunting, it's you don't even have to work on that part of your game because you're probably never going to get asked to do it. Here is the president of baseball operations and GM down in Atlanta. He's still got the skin in the game. He's one of the 30 GMs still kicking around baseball. Here is Alex Anthopoulos. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well, guys. You?
We're doing very well. We were talking about Theo Epstein and his comments on his way out of Chicago where, you know, he just said, listen, I have been the benefactor of analytics. I have been one of the guys who was driving it in Boston, in Chicago. You have been one that's benefited greatly. Everyone does now. You have to. But Theo basically said he doesn't kind of love where the game is at. He wants to see more entertainment value. He wants to see more balls in play and more action. Would you concur with that? How do you feel about those comments?
Yeah, I mean, Theo's obviously a Hall of Fame. He's not there yet, but he's going to be. He's a Hall of Fame GM executive, and he's really bright, and I've known him for a long time now and been on committees with him and things like that. So he's very passionate about the game. He has great ideas. And, look, generally speaking, I think, you know, he cares about it like we all do, and we want to improve the game, no doubt about it. Strikeout rate has climbed. More action, more balls in play is always a good thing. You know, at the same time, when we're working, as he mentioned in his press conference, you know, our responsibility is to win games however right. we see fit. So, you know, 3 years ago, you see Lance McCullers in the World Series. I think he threw 23 straight curveballs or something like that. You know, especially in the postseason, you really break down things down and you really will hammer home on any type of perceived weaknesses that may be out there. But look, we love our game. I love it. But there's always a way to continue to improve upon it. And that's going to be a debate that's going to go on for years.
Alex, when you were in Toronto, I remember you were speaking to the press and you said you always valued the numbers, the analytics. But when you brought in guys like Donaldson and Tulowitzki, you also saw how important leadership is and those intangibles in the clubhouse. Where are you now, a few years later, as far as weighing the percentages of what's more important in the clubhouse and to have success?
You know, I debate myself every offseason when I'm in this position and I'm looking to get players and bring players in, and we spend a ton of time on what type of character they have, what kind of teammates they are, what kind of workers they are, a ton. You know, and the most gratifying thing for me last year, obviously we didn't get to the World Series, but we got really close, was we had a bunch of guys that had been around a long time in a lot of clubhouses, and they all said that was the best clubhouse they'd ever been a part of. And that's rewarding. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't ensure you're going to win the World Series, but that's something that I feel like we can get right. You know, I will say it's something that I still value incredibly. I wonder sometimes maybe if I'm overdoing it at times and I walk away from really talented players that have some warts. And, you know, when I've talked to my staff about this, that I really paid attention to this in the offseason of 2014, leading into that last 2015 season with Toronto. I was really strict and didn't deviate from it at all and continue that same thing when I've been in Atlanta. And, you know, whether it's, and what I don't know is it that we're that strict about makeup and character and work ethic, or is it just we happen to have more talented clubs, we're better defensively, but I'm scared to go the other way and scared to even lighten the reins, I guess, on doing it and the focus and the attention to detail on it. So I'm still really big on it, probably more so than ever. And, you know, so when we approach players, we have a very small group of players that we think fit exactly what we want. You know, one, we try to get talent. And then in that group of talented players, how many are above the line or cross the line on in terms of what we want as a teammate and everything else? And then you get to a really small group, and then we're going to go hard after those guys, pay a little more, you know, maybe have to give up more in trade, but very, very specific in terms of what we want to have. And it's worked, so I'm not confident enough to make a change because we've won the division each of my last 4 years as a GM.
Well, with both of these questions that we've asked you about the Epstein comments and then about, you know, character and trying to juggle the intangibles with the tangibles, it ultimately comes down to information. And you've always been a guy that has sought out the information. And maybe to a point, I guess you're suggesting, maybe at your own peril. Maybe you know too much or you're thinking too much. I mean, is that basically what you're trying to tell us? Like, information's a good thing, but could there be too much information in today's game?
Yeah, the analogy I use, it's like the forbidden fruit. Like, there's a bunch of really good players out there, and you start to dig, and you find out they might have a negative influence on other players. And, you know, I worry about that. We have a young team, and I worry about how players impact other players and affect them. That's not going to show up in the stat sheet and so on. And on the flip side of it, I think if guys can really bring added value to a player, we'll probably, you know, really put a premium on that. And maybe it's to too many extremes. Now, that being said, we've had success with that model in doing it. So, but it's hard at times where, you know, whether it's been the trade deadline or whether it's been in the off season, there's a bunch of players where I'm like, wow, this guy is so talented, you know, tools wise, performance statistically, fits everything that we want. Then you start to dig and you find out about how they are in the room and maybe how divisive they might be and how they affect other players. And there's a lot of times I walk away, and it's tough because I know how talented they are between the lines and how much they can help us win games on the field, but I walk away. And that's where I still struggle at this point. Could I maybe be a little more tolerant and a little more open-minded? Will that lead to more wins? But you know, all that being said, of course, you want to win a World Series. Only 30 clubs, only one of 30 are going to do that. And we've won the division every year. We've had success. I think we've we've overachieved. And if you look at the projections each year with where everyone has thought the Braves are going to end up in terms of wins, we always exceed that. And that's could be because of our advance work, or is it because of what we have in the room? I like to believe it's all of it. But, you know, I'm not going to change it if we continue to have success.
With Alex Anthopoulos, are you motivated by those prognostications and, you know, TSN, ESPN, everyone giving takes on how many wins you're going to get, who's going to win the division? Obviously, you see it, you hear it, everyone does. But how does it affect you personally when you see that kind of stuff?
I love it. And that's not because I get a chip on my shoulder, I get worked up. I love it. I'd rather go below the radar. I'd much rather that than be the guy that people are projecting you're going to win the World Series. I also, just as a general matter of course, I guess, in doing these jobs, I think most GMs probably feel this way. I worry. You know, even if you have a good team, you're still worried about, you know, we have enough here, we have enough depth, we have enough relievers, all of it. Just, I'm worried all the time, is our advance process good? You know, Greg Popovich talked about this, what he called it, appropriate fear. And I think I have a lot of appropriate fear for opponent, for things going wrong. I'd rather prepare for the worst, and I think that keeps me on my toes. And I think it allows me to perform at a higher level. And it's the only way I know how to do the job.
How cool was it seeing your guy Freddie Freeman win the MVP like that? He seems like he's well-liked. Everybody loves him. Just how cool was that experience watching that?
Yeah, you know what? So, you know, the only other time I'd been part of an organization with an MVP when I was in this role was Josh Donaldson in 2015, but I was already gone when he won that. So it just didn't feel the same. And, you know, I could tell you that, you know, I was expecting him to win the MVP, but when it happened that night, I was at home in Atlanta eating dinner with my family. You know, the announcement was going to be pretty soon. So we actually, you know, the four of us, I got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, we all kind of got around the TV and watched it. And it was, you know, I guess, obviously it's one person who's winning the award. It's an individual award, but there's tremendous organizational pride that comes with it. And I talked to him after, and, you know, he was so excited. And, you know, like you said, he's a great guy. You know, he loves the team and the organization. But I think across the board, it's one of those things that the whole organization celebrates because it's such a special achievement to an MVP of an entire league. And it was really nice. I didn't know how it was going to feel, but it's something that as a GM, if you're fortunate enough to have a player to win an MVP, it's a great experience.
With Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos, as far as I know, you have no experience being an executive during a global pandemic, so you're walking into something that you've never done before alongside 29 other GMs in the league. How do you expect this offseason to play out compared to a conventional offseason?
You know, I was not sure, and I would say in November it's mostly slow, but I would say it's comparable to years past. Not entirely, it's a little slower, but we know we're going to play. I mean, we just had a successful year where we got through it, so we're going to play next year. Everyone's still judged on wins and losses and expecting to get to the postseason and win the World Series. So I think the fact that we all live this, we were successful, we learned a lot from it, all of us. Players certainly know what to expect going into next year. You know, now it's just a matter of trying to build a team and put things together and obviously trying to work trades and so on. And even in past off seasons, it's just it's a long off season in baseball, more so in the last few years. We're negotiating deals into spring training, well into spring training a lot of times. So I don't expect that to change anytime soon with the way the pace has gone so far.
Go ahead, O.
Alex, before we get you out of here, do you have an update on Mike Soroka? He's our Canadian guy. We're all interested. Is he healing up? He's going to be ready to rock, or what's his status?
Yeah, so he's in Atlanta. He's rehabbing in Atlanta. You know, my office, it's really nice. They built a new ballpark here, so it overlooks the field. So I get to see him go out there, basically play catch every day. So he still has a limp when he walks, but it's still early, but he'll be ready to throw when we get to spring training. The issue is going to be fielding his position, being able to go cover first base. Now, right now, there's no DH in the NL for 2021 as of right now. So he's going to have to be able to hit, run the bases, do all those things. So that likely is going to take longer than when we would have opening day. But, you know, the good thing is we'll be able to have his arm prepared, ready to go, have him stretched out, built up. And, you know, we expect him to be back to 100% and be a huge ad for us in 2021.
Yep. He's obviously an awesome arm. He's a great interview, too. We've had him on a couple of times. He's a great guy. And awesome. Obviously we always appreciate when you take the time to join us as well, Alex. So enjoy the rest of the offseason. Good luck with everything playing out. And I'm sure we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Really glad to be on. Appreciate
there he is, Alex Anthopoulos, the former GM up here in Toronto and pretty successful GM down in Atlanta, I'd say.
You know,
working out pretty
well
for him.
You know how weird it would be, like just like doing everyday things, like just walking out and throwing, like playing catch with somebody, and your boss is kind of can eyeball that at any time. It's a weird dynamic. Like a lot of hockey rinks, the practice rinks, the GM, the president, they got an office, they can. Like any move, and they can see it all, man. They don't miss anything either. Hockey people, baseball people,
they're watching, man.
They know who's hungover, who's doing what, whose stories they're telling. They're just, you gotta be careful, man.